Just heard Labrish with Haptah Selassie will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book. Nice program.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Tomorrow Starts Spring Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here on this program. You can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com. That's glib.com. You can get up there and look at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. There may have been a little archive mess up there at some point, but right now they seem to be functioning. And this is our 83rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the worldwide top story in the entire Milky Way galaxy is... we are holding steady at 119 followers on Twitter. Such a gigantic number. People can hardly believe there are that many people listening to the radio at all. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 30th, 2022, but it will be an executive session. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI local station board that you can pay rapt attention to will be held on Wednesday, April 13th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 466,771,069 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,069,002. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 79,705,070, and the death toll in America had reached 970,554. So 4,034 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death rate is less than half of what it had been last week. And more than 4,000 deaths a week is still quite a few, however, but things do seem to be going in a better direction than they had been. The pandemic, however, is not over. It's still there. And the BA.2 subvariant of the Omicron variant is raising the rate of infections in Europe and the United Kingdom significantly. And this variant is already here in the United States. So the question is, will we see a COVID-19 surge in the next 3 weeks or so? This is something a lot of health professionals are looking at and saying, oh boy, what's going to happen? By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable, all of these deaths, over 6 million deaths around the world, and those deaths are seriously undercounted. All of that was mostly preventable. In other news about COVID-19, study results from Canada's McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, done with nearly 1,400 test subjects at risk of severe disease if they caught COVID-19, reacted similarly to placebos and to the deworming medication ivermectin. Dr. Edward Mills, who was one of the study's researchers, said, quote, "There was no indication that ivermectin is clinically useful," unquote. We've kind of seen this stuff before. It's not new, but here is yet another big study showing that ivermectin doesn't have any effect on COVID-19. What prompted people to start saying it did in the first place? I wonder if people who make ivermectin started it. Oh, who knows? The FDA said last year that ivermectin showed no benefits in clinical testing and could be dangerous in large doses. Various right-wing celebrities, from Joe Rogan to Fox News media hogs, were pushing ivermectin, including some promoting the use of the animal-grade version that the FDA found itself having to push back against through its own messaging. The FDA ran an ad that said, quote, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it," unquote. In September, the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Disease director, Anthony Fauci, said, quote, "Don't do it. There's no evidence whatsoever that ivermectin works, and it could potentially have toxicity," unquote. And, of course, people using ivermectin with the delusion that it will prevent or treat COVID-19 are generally not using the safe and effective vaccines designed to actually address COVID-19, which has killed over 970,000 Americans.
So that's a big nay to ivermectin, eh? I'm sorry, folks, I have to joke sometimes because it just... Otherwise, I will cry, as I'm sure many of you have over all of this. Just got an email from a family member that said, oh, it's terrible in these times that the pandemic has divided the world. The pandemic has not divided the world. It's isolated the world. What has divided the world are people who don't believe in science. That's what's divided the world. And that's what's prolonged the pandemic, too. People who believe that ivermectin is going to keep them safe, or oregano oil, or some other stupid thing.
Or magic beans.
Or magic beans.
Daylight saving time arrived in the wee hours of last Sunday morning. I like the improvement. The sun is setting after 7 p.m., which I'm pleased about. And we also have this interesting thing. If we have this radio-controlled clock that we bought, God, how many years ago? It's more than a decade ago. It's a pretty old clock by now. And we bought it, and what happens is it looks for a signal from WWVB. That's a radio station located in Fort Collins, Colorado, which sends out the official time signal for the United States of America. And that gets sent out, and this clock, at some point in time during its day, usually around here, it seems to be like 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. It turns on its radio and listens and sees what the signal says, and then the clock automatically adjusts itself, which I really like. I like having an analog clock that is right up to the second, or actually pretty much better than a second. In any event, we have this clock, and it's pretty old, and the buttons aren't working well on it anymore. It has a setting for daylight saving time, and we push that button, and it leaps ahead 1 hour, or it used to. A couple of years ago, that button just stopped working. It's a quality clock. We paid a bit of money for it, and it really shouldn't have crappy buttons, which you use only once a year, that crap out on you. But it does. The buttons are messed up. So what we did this time was say, let's see if it does what it did last year when we again couldn't get it to work right. And so and in fact, all the buttons are shot now. You can't even move it around manually. And so we just left it there and said, let's see what happens. And amazingly, it reset itself to the correct time, to Eastern Daylight Time. Oh, boy, it took a day or two, which is unfortunate, but it did it. And we're very glad about that. And so we have our clock. We don't have to go and see about buying a new clock. And I don't think we could afford a radio-controlled clock, a new highfalutin clock again. Those things are expensive. They're more expensive now, of course, but if you can get them. And so, yeah, our clock is right on time. And at 11:33 tomorrow morning, spring will arrive. Oh, goody. I'm looking forward to that. If the latest COVID-19 variant doesn't cause a surge, I might even get out of the apartment sometime this spring. It could happen. So, yes, spring will be here. We'll have more daylight than night dark. And, oh, the sun is already setting after 7 o'clock. This is good stuff. Ah, I will feel better now.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
It being spring, we have, of course, baseball. In America, spring means baseball. Well, it used to. Now it means many things, but it used to really mean baseball. Baseball was a much bigger thing in America than it is at this point in time. And, of course, the Major League Baseball negotiations and the lockout has all been settled. That was settled more than a week ago. And the baseball season, which was supposed to have started on March 31st, is now supposed to start on April 7th. So they put it off for about a week or so. And they'll have the full 162-game regular season for baseball this year, with the preseason workouts having been disrupted, and maybe not everybody's going to be, you know, in great shape. And, of course, for the first few weeks of the year, the pitchers aren't up to snuff yet, because it takes, you know, quite a bit to get in shape for this stuff. But, yeah, the baseball season will start. It will look a little odd, more odd than usual for the first few weeks this year. But some things are different. In fact, everybody has the designated hitter rule now, which is where one person in the lineup who takes the field is substituted for by somebody who does nothing other than try to belt the ball out of the park. And the designated hitter had been done in the American League since 1973. I remember how big a debate that was. Oh, it was a big deal then. Now, I don't think anybody cares much. But now, the National League is also going to have designated hitters. And, of course, we have a little tradition we do. We don't always do it every year, but, hey, we've had some disruption here of the season this year, and I think we're going to do it this year. And basically, we're going to play a very short piece from Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel was the manager of the New York Yankees, and he was giving testimony before the Senate Antitrust and Monopoly Subcommittee on July 8th, 1958. This was because some people had questioned whether baseball should still be given basically a monopoly on the game in America. And, you know, is this legal? Is it not? And this has been brought up, and it's been debated legally, and should this be done, and all of that. Because baseball had this rather unique situation, rather unique relationship to the American people for so many years, so many decades, it was given a pass on having a monopoly on the game. You can't just go to some other Major League Baseball. There's only one in America. And so there was some question about that. And the Senate Antitrust and Monopoly Subcommittee met on July 8th, 1958. And they had as a witness, because it's a Senate hearing, they had as a witness Casey Stengel with his unique perspectives on life and other things. And you're going to hear someone asking questions. The person asking questions is Senator Estes Kefauver, a famous senator from long ago. And then you'll hear Casey Stengel. And at the end, you're going to hear a slugger and great baseball player, Mickey Mantle, who did a lot of smoking and drinking during his time and carousing. And toward the end of his life, he said, geez, I could have gotten some more years of being a really great baseball player if I hadn't been smoking and drinking and carousing like that. I hope other people took that to heart and maybe didn't smoke and drink so much and maybe not smoke at all. Carousing, well, that's a different thing. Anyway, here's Senator Kefauver and Casey Stengel.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's.
And we have our designated pitch time to do here, and we're going to do that right about now. So we're going to pitch for Women's History Month and BAI Buddies, and the first thing we do is play this piece Management Requires Us to Play.
I am woman, I am fetus, I am You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with ability, with intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up that I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the National Convention. And I mean this. I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought in terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people, first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people. And for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program. Or call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
Yes, for $15 a month, be a BAI buddy. A friend at a show, and you can get Women in History, hours and hours and hours and hours of Women in History, all kinds of women, like the wonderful Shirley Chisholm you just heard, women such as Margaret Mead, ah yes, famous anthropologist. You can hear her talking about the family in America, the role of men and women in society, sex, free love, and so much more. Over a number of decades, they have excerpts of her speaking. You can hear Alice Walker talking about her famous novel, The Color Purple, how it was made into a Broadway show. She'll even read from it. Ah, yes, indeed. And another thing you can hear is, oh my, High Tea with Mrs. Miller, and that was produced right here at WBAI, oh, back in 1966. Ah, Mrs. Miller, if you've never heard her sing, it's truly an experience. Oh, and it is a great experience. Yes, so why not pledge to us, please. Call 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to make a pledge in the name of Back of the Book. You want to keep Back of the Book on the air. You want to keep WBAI on the air. And you will get Women in History and a lovely tote bag.
Yes, the Women in History stuff is 81 different recordings of interviews and productions, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of audio productions with women who made history one way or another. And there are 81 of these on the USB flash drive. The USB flash drive has 8 gigabytes of this stuff on it, which means also that with 81 pieces taking up 8 gigabytes, you've got quality audio on there. I'm not sure exactly what it is, whether they have the highest quality MP3 or whether they have WAV files. Either way, those are very high quality audio files, and you should be able to have a good listening time with that. And this has come out of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and they're located in California, and they get a lot of the audio from the Pacifica stations, and they have a lot of old stuff on tape, and they have a whole bunch of stuff from WBAI on tape, and you can listen to these things, and for $15, you get this 8 gigabytes of women in history. On top of which, you also get a WBAI tote bag. Woohoo! And what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950. And when the call center person picks up, you say, "I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book." And they'll make you a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And by doing that, you are saying, "I want to give $15 a month to WBAI. And you call the call center people, and usually what happens is you give them a credit card or a debit card, and what they do is they enter that into the system, and you are billed on a day that you choose. You tell them what day you want to be billed for this, and they will take that $15 out of your account, and it'll be a donation to BAI. So $15 a month is what they want, what management wants, for this great big 8 gigabyte USB flash drive with hours and hours of audio regarding great women in history. So 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now. Call that number if you can at all. 1-212-209-2950. If you call that number now, the call center will be there. Tell them you want the Women in History. You want to pledge $15 a month as a BAI buddy for the Women in History USB flash drive, and you're calling in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program. And yes, it is important to say Back of the Book. That way we get credit for having gotten a BAI buddy that way. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen? We may not get credit. 1-212-209-2950. Hey, we don't get to do a premium of any sort very often, but right now we have these mandated premiums, so we are. This USB flash drive is our big premium at this time, and you can get it by calling in. And this is still Women's History Month right now, and it will be next time as well. And we are pitching this big USB flash drive from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And what they do is they take the old tapes, because a lot of the old stuff is on tape. And, oh, I can tell you about tape. And they dub this off. They record it off and digitize it. And they clean it up, because modern digital stuff is digital recording these days is vastly better than the old tape, because you don't have tape hiss, for one thing. See, what happens is the tape goes past the head, and there's a rather high-pitched hiss in there, which is the sound of the tape going over the metal tape head. And you can't avoid it. You get tape hiss with tape. They can take that out now. And they can clean up a lot of other things. There are, a lot of the time, there are little, what are called dropouts, because a piece of oxide will come off the tape. And I can tell you, when you're editing tape and you hit a dropout and you're using the headphones and they're on good and tight, it feels like something's sucking your eardrums out. Really, there's this big dropout that happens. But with digital recording and editing, they pull those out. And so it's a much cleaner recording than people heard originally. And so they've cleaned them up, and it's ready for you to listen to. And it's 8 gigabytes of various radio programs, interviews, and statements, and whole programs by some of these women. And so this is all available for $15 a month as a sustaining member. And again, you call up 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and I want the 8 gigabyte USB flash drive of Women in History. And then you tell them what day of the month you want to be charged, and that'll be it. You'll have done it. And WBAI will be helped tremendously. Management really wants to get about 100 more BAI buddies, because that will help management to get a better handle on meeting basic expenses. WBAI has just done its FY22 budget. Yes, I know. Yeah, we're almost 6 months into FY22 here. And we just got the budget done for the year and sent on to the National Board for approval. And it's a deficit budget. And that's a problem. You can help us to have less of a deficit, which means we'll be paying maybe more of our bills, if not all of our bills, and we will look a bit less awful to the rest of Pacifica, which doesn't like the fact that they have to help us out. Okay? And so you could help us out a great deal by calling 1-212-209-2950 and telling the person who picks up at the call center that you want to become a BAI buddy and you want to get the Women in History USB flash drive, the 8 gigabyte flash drive, and you want to donate $15 a month to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book.
And don't forget your tote bag.
Yeah, you get a tote bag with that, so you can carry things around and say, hey, everybody, look, I listen to WBAI and I donate. And then you can duck before they throw things at you. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. I hope some of you will call, and thank you if you do. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. The January 6th committee from Congress says that Trump and his pals were in a criminal conspiracy to defraud the United States when they had the insurrection in an attempt to prevent the votes from being counted, from the ballots from being counted on January 6th to finally and officially say who won the 2020 election. And so there is that. Are they going to do anything? Well, that's a question. However, a jury has convicted somebody named Guy Wesley Reffitt. They've convicted him of storming the U.S. Capitol with a holstered handgun, interfering with police officers who were guarding the Capitol on January 6th, 2021, and of obstructing justice for threatening his 2 teenage children if they reported him to law enforcement after the attack. What a good father. Hey, kids, if you rat me out, I'm gonna kill you. Thanks, Daddy. Jurors deliberated for about 3 hours before convicting this guy, Reffitt, on all counts. This is good. This is a very good thing. It's the first one. It's the first trial. He got nailed on all three counts. He could spend a good amount of time in prison. I hope, I really hope that he gets to spend at least 20 years, maybe more, in prison over this. You know, this thing of where some people are getting a couple of months or a few months or just a couple of years. I think one of them just got probation or some goddamn thing. And I hope this guy, having gotten nailed, I hope he spends decades in prison. There was an opinion piece in the Daily News this past week that said that the feds were going to be really chicken about going after the January 6th insurrectionists because the federal government can't afford the trials for all of them. There are more than like 750 of them who've been arrested so far. And this opinion piece in the Daily News said the feds can't afford for all of them to demand to be able to go to trial. They need them to cop pleas. And so basically they want them to plea down and they might just get tiny charges. And if this case had gone the other way where he was found not guilty on everything, this would have emboldened the other 700 odd idiots who were charged with various forms of conspiracy, insurrection, etc., to say, hey, if we resist, we get nothing. And, you know, then say maybe get a plea deal with the government and plea to, like, I don't know, disorderly conduct and get a fine or maybe just not get prosecuted at all or anything. And so that would be very bad. And I'm hoping that the government doesn't chicken out on going after these people. I hope that they'll hire more lawyers if they need to, more prosecutors to prosecute these people, because this isn't like your ordinary type of crime. They didn't, like, you know, reach in and grab some candy from the candy store and run out the door with it. This is an attempt to basically prevent the voters of the United States of America from having their say in who the president of the United States would be. This was also a large-scale attempted murder of people in Congress. You know, hang Mike Pence. And they even showed up with a noose for him. So I'm really hoping that the Daily News editorial doesn't come true, doesn't make it so that these people will all say, yeah, we'll all get together and we'll demand a trial and there'll be too many of us and they'll start just letting us go and stuff like that. And I hope they are now all look at it and say, geez, we're going to get convicted the way this guy did. And if he gets a really serious sentence, I think that will encourage them to take plea deals where they will end up doing serious time. Maybe not as serious as they should have, but serious time. Put them, you know, like a minimum of 10 years or something. So, yeah, there is that, and I'm hoping that a lot of those people go to prison for a long time. I'm hoping that Donnie Bonespur Trump goes to prison for the rest of his life, and soon. Speaking of the former moron, or the moron who was formerly in the White House, he's still a moron, his former White House communications director, Stephanie Grisham, spent the week on ABC's program The View. And she apologized for her role in the Trump administration. Oh, man. I don't think any other mouthpiece for the White House has ever done that before. This is another first here. She apologized for her role in the Trump administration and said the former president laughs at his followers in private. That's not much of a revelation, but okay, it comes from somebody who actually watched it. Maybe some of those people will listen. And Ms. Grisham said, quote, "I want those people to know he laughs at them behind closed doors. I want people to know that. I used to be there," unquote. Trump is also trying to get people to donate to buy him a new jet plane. I want a new jet plane. If he's such a great billionaire, why can't he buy his own? You know, he already has one. He just can't repair it. It's decrepit and needs repairs and maintenance, and he can't afford that. So he wants those morons who support his moronicisms to buy him a new jet plane. Are they that stupid? Anyway, so he's trying to get him to buy a new jet plane, and also he's selling all sorts of merchandise centered around himself and his time in the White House and all of that. And, oh man, talk about unseemly. And Ms. Grisham has said that Trump is a, quote, con man, unquote, and he is leading a, quote, cult-like thing, unquote. And, yeah, that's kind of obvious that this is all what's going on. So he's selling his cult merch. Trump cult merch is on there for sale. And, he's begging for donations so people will give him his own private jet plane again. And I guess the other one he can just leave to rot in a hangar somewhere. And, he doesn't have to rely on rich Republican donors to lend him their jet aircraft to fly around the different places and hold his Republican Bund rallies and entertain the neo-Nazis. Jesus Christ. You know, who would have believed this like 6 or 8 years ago that something like this could happen? If you'd written this in a novel 6 or 8 years ago, it would have been rejected as being too far out. This is ridiculous. Nobody would ever behave like this. Nobody would elect a jerk like that in the first place. And even a jerk wouldn't behave like this afterwards. Well, here we are, living in a very bad novel. I don't follow football. And so there's this guy named Herschel Walker. I don't know if I've ever heard of him before, but I'm sure many others have. He's a sports celebrity. He used to play football for the New York Giants. And yeah, so he was a big deal National Football League player, and he isn't anymore. Now he's running for Senate in the state of Georgia. And he's running for the Republican nomination for Senate, and he's going to try and unseat a Democratic senator. And oh boy, we're going to see how that's going to work out. And so this Herschel Walker ex-football player made a speech at the Sugar Hill Church in Georgia last Sunday. The thing is getting him some publicity, this particular speech, because he made some stupid statements regarding the theory of evolution through natural selection, which apparently is something he has no clue about at all. And he made this speech. It was almost an hour long, and, you know, he's running for Senate. So, yeah, separate church and state, why don't you? And he says during a speech, quote, "At one time, science said man came from apes, did it not?" Unquote. No, it actually didn't quite say that. It doesn't quite say that. It says there's a common ancestor way back there millions of years ago. But, you know, it doesn't say man comes from apes. It's, so this is twisting things around already. And the question is he stupid and not understanding it, or is he being dishonest and twisting it around for these evangelicals in this church? Anyway, he followed that particular statement up with, quote, "If that is true, why are there still apes? Think about it," unquote. And, oh, boy, I'm sure that the evangelicals in the audience did their usual really deep thinking about this nonsense. And, of course, again, this character is running as a Republican candidate. And Donald Bonespur Trump is endorsing him. And this is ridiculous stuff. Why are there still apes? Well, that isn't a real question to things, because there's, you know, evolution through natural selection doesn't mean there won't be apes anymore. If you want to look at the actual lineage of humanity, where are the other humans who led up to us? Where's Neanderthal today? Oh, where is Heidelbergensis, a precursor of humans and almost human? Where is Afarensis and all Australopithecus Afarensis and all of these lineages, which over a very long time, millions of years, led up to modern human beings? Where are they? Well, they're not existing anymore. They're gone. They're all gone. And so if he would ask his question honestly, he would say, oh, they're not here anymore. On the other hand, you also have the fact that because there is this evolution, it doesn't mean what you came out of doesn't exist anymore. There are other primates. And, you know, there are lemurs. There are other things around. Look at sharks. Sharks have evolved from something and to other things, but there are still sharks around. So his idea is based on, I don't want to believe in this, so I will make something stupid up. And in reading about this, I also found that I'm glad dead moron Rush Limbaugh actually was saying, why did one of the gorillas in a zoo not evolve to become a human being? That is profoundly stupid.
Well, perhaps both those people did their research by watching the movie Inherit the Wind. I'm not joking. That's entirely possible. And they thought, you know, the prosecution, they have some wonderful points. I think I'll use these too. That's entirely possible.
Yes, or at least they got it from the same crowd of idiots who've been fighting against something that's kind of obvious and is so proven by this point that you really have to be a fool to say, oh, evolution through natural selection doesn't happen. We even have the mechanism now, which is DNA. It used to be they could fight against it and say, how would this happen? And nobody really had a good answer yet, which happens in science. You don't learn everything all at once. You said, here's how it's going. But then DNA showed up, and we can read it, and we can read the ancient bits that are still in there.
What you're saying is absolutely true. However, if you have been brought up in a religion where you are taught that the world is only 6,000 years old and certain things happened in a certain way, we have people in our families that were brought up that way. We weren't. At least I wasn't. By the time I went to Catholic school, they actually taught you real scientific method and evolution and all that stuff. Perhaps the diocese did not realize that we were being taught this. However, then you're going to think that this stuff is the way it is, and you're going to pose those same questions.
Well, the thing with the Catholic Church, I believe, is that, of course, in 1859, Darwin produced his book, Natural Selection, Evolution Through Natural Selection, and actually changed the name a little bit later on. And the Catholic Church was immediately against it, as were the Protestant churches. However, after a few years, the Catholic Church came up with, oh, well, of course, God did all of this stuff.
Yes.
He just, maybe, perhaps, he could maybe have chosen this way to do it. God works in whatever way he pleases. Maybe it pleased him to work through evolution to do it.
Yes.
And I think a part of that is because the Catholic Church got so burned by the Galileo thing of the Copernican system of, well, you know, the Earth isn't the center of the universe and the sun doesn't revolve around the Earth. The Earth revolves around the sun. And they, you know, they threatened Galileo with the rack. They put him under house arrest for the rest of his life. They banned his books about Copernican system, which said, again, the Earth revolves around the sun. And they did that for a long time. And, of course, the evidence kept mounting up, and it was incontrovertible. And they started going, oh, this is so embarrassing, to the point that in 1826, I think it was, the Vatican astronomer had to admit that, yeah, the Copernican system is right. But then it wasn't until, I think it was, 1976 or 66, sometime in the second half of the 20th century, the Catholic Church finally issued a formal apology to Galileo for having mistreated him. Oh, yeah, sure. 300-odd years too late, but what the hell? But yeah, that's why the Catholic Church did that. And also the sky pilot, who's in charge of the Sugar Hill Church where this speech happened, the pastor Chuck Allen, your big sky pilot's named Chuck. He said, every time he hears about the theory of evolution, notice they don't call it the theory of evolution through natural selection. They can't even get the name right. He says, quote, every time he thinks of it, he says, quote, I think to myself that you just didn't read the same Bible I did, unquote. So here's another idiot. Who cares about the Bible? Who cares about what the Bible says? It says those self-contradictory things. Plus, guess what? The Abrahamic superstitions aren't even the only superstitions in the world. You've got all these other superstitions, some of which, I think, are able to embrace evolution through natural selection. But anyway, so we have this Herschel Walker guy who's an ex-football player who's running for the Senate, trying to make it so the Senate becomes even stupider. Oh, boy. Of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine is still going on. This terrible war. This dictator of Russia who's trying to resurrect the Soviet Union again. Jesus, nobody wanted it then. Well, most people didn't want it then. And now he wants to bring it back. Soviet Union was never a communist state. It was very much like what we have now, which is why the Soviet commissars ended up becoming the Russian Federation oligarchs who own everything. It's just that now they officially own it. Before, they were just supposed to be administering it, but they really owned it. And so, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues. They continue to bomb residences like crazy. They're just murdering people. They're shooting people in bread lines. And this is terrible stuff going on. They're making noises about the lethal aid that's coming in from the West. And maybe they might do something about that, you know, and it might be, you know, this is the point at which, you know, NATO stands on the border of Poland, drops its drawers, turns around, moons Putin and says, come and get it, mother bleeper. And, you know, says, you know, Article 5, mess with us, come over that border and you're going to find yourself facing superior opposition. And I wouldn't want to be in the harbor at Vladivostok at that moment. The Russian people are being denied information about this, and there are various laws now that you can't say there's a war on. It's a special operation. And, of course, a lot of the Western news outlets, they've just left because they can't report on this. They're not going to say, oh, it's a special operation, although one of them kind of did as he was going out the door there because he was still in country. He probably didn't want to get arrested. And, you know, so they've left. So the Russian people are getting all of the state propaganda about a special operation to save Ukraine from Nazis, when in fact the Nazis are the big allies of Russia, just as happened in the early part of World War II. Anyway, one Marina Avsayanikova, an employee of Russian state television Channel 1, had had enough of the station's coverage of the war. So, last Monday night, during the 9 p.m. news on Channel 1, in the program called Russia Tonight, she jumped on camera behind the anchor during a Russian TV news broadcast, and she was holding a big sign that she'd obviously put together herself. And you can see it's folded at the edges, so she'd roll it up to sneak it in. And she holds up this big sign that says at the top, "No war," unquote, in English, and in Russian, quote, "Stop the war. Don't believe the propaganda. They're lying to you here," unquote. And so the Russian people, they could all read that. They could probably mostly all read "no war" also. And her sign also had drawings of the Russian and Ukrainian flags. She was arrested and so far is only supposed to be subject to a fine of about $280 so far. However, since calling what's going on a war is a crime in Russia now, oh yeah, politically incorrect, all right. Newspeak is a special operation. And so she's a thought criminal. Since she said it's a war and she can't say that, that could get her 5 years in prison. So at some point in the future, she may have to deal with that particular charge too. Ms. Asyanakova, I used to play chess and I used to have to figure out Russian chess names. So I can do Nona Gaprindashvili and stuff like that. But reading it fast, Marina Osvanyakova, that's probably right, Osvanyakova, also posted a video online in which she said, quote, "Unfortunately, for the last several years, I worked at Channel 1 promoting Kremlin propaganda, and for that, I am very ashamed right now," unquote. And she continued on her video posting, quote, "I am ashamed that I allowed lies to be told from TV screens, and I allowed Russian people to be zombified. We stayed quiet when all of this was just getting started in 2014, unquote. And of course, 2014 is when the Russians invaded two parts of eastern Ukraine and invaded Crimea and took it over. And recently, the group Anonymous hacked some other Russian TV broadcasts and they posted anti-war messages. And of course, the Russian people are not being allowed to see or hear stuff like that by dictator Vladimir Putin's government. So they're getting some bits of stuff that they're seeing, but the thing is, overwhelmingly, they're getting the government propaganda that says everything is wonderful. And that has been it for Back of the Book. This is our last program of winter. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Brary Miller.
And we'll be back next week. Go out on any sunny day, said, wow, the sun is so much brighter now. Enjoy it. It'll be spring after tomorrow morning. When you go on out, feel good. Breathe the air. It smells different now. Spring air smells different from winter air. And above all, remember what that welcoming all that good extra daylight Dormouse said.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, March 20th, 2022 at 1 p.m. The meeting will be by teleconference. The call-in number is 623-600-3766. The meeting ID number is 963-003. Everyone is welcome to call in and attend the meeting. If you attend 3 out of 4 consecutive meetings, you will become a member of the Community Advisory Board. Everyone is welcome to join the CAB. Again, the call-in number is 623-600-3766. And the meeting ID number is 963-003.
We're tuned to Hi-Fi, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Pencil. Okay.